Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. We need to get a heart that's toward God and his word and the truth. We cannot take matters into our own hands. When we take matters into our own hands, we step beyond the laws and the ordinances that God has set up. It's not about the police department. It's about what God has designed and set up. God is the highest power that there is. He set up the design, and we need to respect the design, whether it's on the police side or on the other side with the people. Both sides need to respect the word. Yes. Both sides need to do what the word says. And if we as the church, who is supposed to be the light of the world, will honor the word ourselves and be the example, then God is going to back us up with his armies. Come on, somebody.
Yes, yes.
But see, we are walking in carnality. We're walking in the wrong spirit. In the church world, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. In the church world, we can't even love. Say, oh, no, man, nothing but love. Come on, somebody. We can't even show love. So now it's being passed on down to the rest of them. Come on, somebody. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And what in the world are we doing? Walking in darkness. What in the world are we doing? Losing our savor. Nothing but to be cast out. Hallelujah. And trodden under the feet of men. We don't even have value anymore like we need to have value. We need to bring the kingdom of God in the earth. We need to stop talking about church and talk about the kingdom of God. We need to stop worrying about who's preaching the best. Stop worrying about who's prophesying the longest. Stop worrying about all this foolish stuff, because the Bible said that tongue gonna cease, prophecy is gonna fail, all these different gifts. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels. You can know every mystery in the word. You can have such great revelation. Hallelujah. All you want. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. And this is what we need to walk in, the love of God. And if we love God, we'll do what? Keep his commandments. We'll keep his commandments. So check out Romans chapter 13. Get your heart right. You know, I found out something about doing heart surgery.
Mm.
Hallelujah. When you open up that person's chest, you don't just automatically end up with the heart exposed. There's this hard thing called a sternum. Come on, somebody, that the doctor got to saw through before he can even get to the heart. And that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to saw through this hardness of man so that he can get to the heart of the matter and so that he can change some things in the earth. But the Bible said in these last days, the perilous time is not because we're having bad storms, not because the earth is quaking, not because of none of that. It's because men have become lovers of themselves. Men have become disobedient. Men, the heart of man is evil as it was in the days of Noah. It's the same way now. The Bible tells, why won't you do right? Just do right. Do you think God owes you something?
Mm.
Do you think God owes you something? That's why you don't want to do right? God owes us nothing. He's given everything he's got to give. Now we need to respect him and thank him and appreciate him for all that he's already done for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know why people feel like that God owes them anything, but we owe God everything.
Yeah.
We owe him our life. They don't even realize that we are here on his borrowed breath. We done got so high and mighty that this is my breath. No, this is borrowed breath. You're breathing with the breath of God that he breathed into you, and you became a living soul. You are living on borrowed breath. We are living on borrowed time. We are moving on borrowed mobility. What you talking about, preacher? If he didn't move these old bones this morning, they wouldn't have got out of bed. We are living on borrowed mobility, borrowed time, borrowed breath. And we serve him when we feel like it.
My.
When we feel like it, when we don't feel like praising him, we don't praise him.
My. But he don't stop us from breathing. He don't take our breath.
No.
Hallelujah, because we treat him so badly. But I just want the world to know that we are not insensitive to the losses.
No.
We're not insensitive to that. But my thing is, don't let these lives be lost in vain. Let us go forward and do what we have been called to do in this earth as soldiers in the army of God, not in some radical, crazy army that some man came up with some foolish cause, but I'm talking about the cause of Jesus Christ, the one who came, hallelujah, as the Prince of Peace, the one who came as the God of righteousness, the one who came to save those that were lost, the one who came, hallelujah, to bring forth order in the midst of confusion. We need to be faithful and committed to that man, God, Jesus, the Redeemer, our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, somebody. Let us think about the question we're asking you today. Do you think God owes you something? And the other question that we asked you today, are you in compliance? Are you in compliance? Check yourself. We're responsible for our own life. We're responsible. We can't point the finger. That's the old Adam. Oh, yeah, that woman you gave me. Oh, yeah, then the woman, yes, that serpent. No. We're responsible for our own lives, for our own decisions. Nobody makes us decide to do things. We make that decision on our own. I pray that you will choose life. I pray that you will choose the blessing. I pray that you will choose Jesus. I pray that you will say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make a choice today. Make a choice today. Give God your heart. Get rid of the retaliating.
Yes.
Get rid of the hate. Get rid of it, because it's going to do nothing but destroy you. It's not helping you. It's not helping you at all. Walk in love. Walk in love. Because without love, again, I'm letting you know what the word says in 1 Corinthians 13. It profits you nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. So we just give God the praise. And we continue to pray for those who have lost their loved ones. And we pray for their strength, and we pray for their courage, and we pray for them to look to the hills from which come their help and realize that all of their help comes from God. Everything belongs to him. And if we would just go to the maker, the one that created us, he can give us the answers. Amen, somebody. And don't forget, regardless of what's going on around us, every day you wake up is another day of miracles. God bless you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
WTAN. FM 106.1 Tampa Bay.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river. Good afternoon, everyone. It is time. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are very, very happy to be here with you again this day. It's going to be a great one. Betty, is that you on the line?
This is me. Good afternoon.
Hey there. I just posted on Facebook about our show just now, and I made the announcement on Facebook, and we are so excited around here at the radio station in Clearwater, Florida. TanTalk1340.com is now also an FM station. And that's, if I knew where the applause button is in here in the control room, I would push it, but I don't know. So, Betty, it's so exciting. We are all so excited and geared up for this change. It's not just 1340 AM locally anymore. It is both sites. Now we are also a very, very strong FM station, 106.1 FM, along with, of course, our ability to be on the air on the website, TanTalk1340.com, and also on Starcom Radio Network, which we'll talk about later. So this is a big day for us, the engineers, the people that work here, and all of us that do shows here at TanTalk 1340. Wow, it's pretty cool, Betty. We're all very pumped.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I was talking to my hubby, and I told him, I said, hey, we're going FM.
Right.
Next step that God's going to put us in.
That's right. FM. It's
hallelujah.
And it's here. It was official on Thursday, I believe, and our Go Yard show that we did Thursday night was FM. And that will open a lot more doors for people to be able to hear us, because so many people use that FM channel on their radio versus AM, although we will continue to be on AM. But the strength of the signal is really good. And, of course, we have it playing here in the outer room. I don't know what you call that room out there. You've been here. The main entry here in at the radio station, and you can just hear how strong it is when you walk in. So, you know, really, really cool. 106.1 FM. That's who we are now. Tan Talk Radio. Wow. Pretty cool. So, Joe, your husband's excited about it too, right? He knows the benefit of being on FM, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. The signal strength is much greater, and it reaches more of a genre of people.
Yes.
That actually listen to FM. AM is important, but FM is fantastic. I know when you told me that, I think it was on Friday, that we'd spoken for a while, that we were going to FM, and it's like, that is just absolutely awesome. God is on the move, you know?
Amen. And you know the goal, Betty, you know, you've been doing the show with me for a long time now, you and your daughter Megan, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Cindy Logan from up in Indiana. In fact, Pastor Jim and I are both from Indiana, so we got a lot of Indiana folks in this ministry. But then also Nathan and Nan here, and PJ, of course, is here. Just the excitement of reaching more people, Betty, is what I want to say. That's our goal. We are not just doing this just week after week just to say we did it. We're in our 10th year, Sunday after Sunday, not missing a Sunday, not missing a beat for it going into our 10th year now. Pretty exciting stuff here. I'm pumped today. I'm very, very thrilled about this new advancement here at the station.
Oh, and I think that, you know, once you get established in a station like TAN, like YTAN,
yes,
is that there is so much room for growth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the Lord wants to do, is to grow, get his message out, because he wants everyone, when he comes back, he wants everyone, as many as he can get, to enter the gates of heaven. And what better way to do it than with an FM station, along with Starcom Media,
right,
along with the AM station. So that just means more people. And more of the word getting out to bring more people in for the harvest.
Amen. And that's what we are charged to do. We are called to get the word of God out and the kingdom of God to be taught that all those principles, and that's what we do. In fact, Betty, it'll be an interesting little trivia point today that I did two radio shows this morning for our new radio station that we have now in Puebla, Mexico. And both of those were entirely in Spanish, Spanish intro, me teaching for a while in Spanish, then some songs, and then some more teaching, and then our ending song, and got two of those already uploaded, ready to go on the air this week in Puebla in Spanish. Very exciting. I got to tell you, I've said this three times now, I'm pumped. I'm pumped because we're getting the word out there. And that's just our little piece of the kingdom. So many people around the globe are teaching, like those good, wonderful folks that just came before us. I love those people. And they just really get the word out there. And that's our goal always. So you want to comment on that before you start off with prayer, Betty?
Sure. Well, one of the neat things about the show before you is that if you're down, you're going to be up by the time the end of the show. When you listen to Living the Good Life,
right,
you're gonna be on the mountain. You're gonna be praising God and just raising the roof and thanking God for all of the wonderful things that we have.
Oh, I know. A few weeks back, the dear sister that was just here on, Sister Rebecca, or I think it's Apostle Rebecca, but and one of her dear ladies that's on the radio some, they were in there and they started singing a cappella. I don't know if I told you about this, Betty, but they were singing The Blood Shall Never Lose Its Power, and it got me so crazy excited and wonderfully blessed that the minute they went off the air, I went running in there, and we did a trio of that song. And so I was late getting on the air because I'm in there singing with them and just praising God, and woo, it was great. Well, it was so much fun.
Mm. Well, you know, that's what praise does, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon.
We are.
The power of praise can do for us and through us and for us. And
amen.
Give him all praise and glory.
Amen. So why don't you start with prayer, and we'll do a song.
Oh, okay. We'd be delighted to. Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise you and worship you. Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to bring your word to maybe hundreds and now thousands of people, both here in the United States and around the world. Lord God, we thank you that you give us all the opportunity on the radio team to be able to be a part of this ministry. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that as the word goes out today through these airways, we ask, Lord God, that you bless it. Bless it, because your word does not come back void, Lord. And we thank you that whoever hears this message today, that it will be a life changer for them, that it will bring them closer to you through praise and worship is what you so adore.
Amen.
We love you so much, Lord, and we ask all of your blessings upon this show today and as Pastor is engineering and those who are listening, Lord God, we thank you for the blessing that this will bring. In your precious name and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to kick off with a song by Brian Duncan, I See You.
I see you watching over me.
Yeah.
Every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Let's thank him.
Under a bridge or up on a mountain, see you in everything, like stars I'm counting. The streets of gold or just mud and gravel, you're always with me on this road I travel. Straight and narrow, goes up and down, and don't leave a place for me to turn around in. And I can make it cause you're waving me. Signs that I do find you. I see you watching over me, and every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you, thank you.
Woo!
or none to speak of. No way I'm gonna lose it. I trust in your love. Whatever comes, I'd rather face it all together. I see a clue, know it's you, I remember. I see you watching over me. Every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. All I wanna do is thank you, thank you. Thank you. And that's right.
Watching over me. All right. Love that song. Just want to thank you. Psalm 118 says this, I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. I will give thanks. This is verse 21 of Psalm 118. I will give you thanks. Open for me. This is verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter his courts with praise, Betty. How many times did we used to sing that old song at Cornerstone? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And that is what we're doing today as we begin this show. Yes, there's a lot of awful things going on in the world, but we're going to praise God and thank him for all his blessings, regardless of what's going on around us and what's affecting us. We're going to thank him, because through thanksgiving, then we enter the courts of praise. Woo, Betty, I'm excited. What a great song is that? Isn't that cool?
I tell you, it gets you moving now.
Were you dancing?
Yeah, I'm doing a little Pentecostal.
Were you?
Shift, you know,
all right. Yeah.
But you know what? That's what praise does. Praise breaks through the barriers.
Yes. Yes.
So that you can enjoy what God has for us.
Right.
And it's just so important. In fact, this morning, I was looking at your email, and the Lord told me that this show is going to be one of the more important shows for people to actually listen to and to understand what it means to praise him.
Yes.
I almost sent out a prayer request last night for prayer, and he goes, you don't need to. I'm already there, and all you have to do is tell them what I gave you to say. Okay. Well, that's fine. I fully listen. I'm trying to at times. Sometimes I don't listen, but praise is so important. And I think we're going to get into the dynamics of it more as the show goes on this
afternoon. We are. And, you know, we enter through thanksgiving. Now, the Lord just spoke to my heart, Betty, just now, and he said, let's play that song one more time. And I don't normally do that. You know I don't. But I believe we're supposed to. And I think, people, we need to get our praise on. We need to get our Thanksgiving on. And, of course, I'm right here in the control room, and I'm playing air drums like I've told you I do a whole lot. But you know what? We need to be praising God. We're going to do that one more time. Come on. Praise God. Come on. Praise Him right where you are. Right where you are. Come on.
I see you looking out for me. All I wanna do is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Come on, thank Him, somebody.
Under a bridge or up on a mountain, see you in everything, like stars I'm counting. The streets of gold or just mud and gravel, you're always with me on this road I travel.
Amen.
Straight and narrow, goes up and down, and don't leave a place for me to turn around in. And I can make it cause you're waving me through, yeah. I see the signs that I do find you. I see you watching over me, and every day another way that I can see and love. And I see you looking out for me. All I wanna do is thank you. Or none to speak of. No way I'm gonna lose. I trust in your love. Whatever comes, I'd rather face it all together. I see a clue, know it's you. I remember. I see you watching over me. Every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. All I wanna do is thank you.
Yes, he is. Praise God. That's all we want to do is thank you, Lord, because you are watching over us. You are taking care of every detail of our lives. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you. Praise God. That's second time through for that song, but it's just as good the second time, Betty. Great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, you're just warming up. This is
going to
get us on fire.
Woo! I know it. Let's go to Psalm 92. What a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing an anthem to you. We just heard an anthem. The high God, to announce your love each day break. Sing your faithful presence all through the night, accompanied by the dulcimer and harp, or by that great song. The full-bodied music of strings. You made me so happy, God. I saw your work and I shouted for joy. How magnificent your work, God. How profound your thoughts. I love Psalm 92, where it starts out, where we just read, what a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing to you. We're going back to the book of First Chronicles, but it is so beautiful to sing these songs that just move us, isn't it, Betty?
Oh, you know what? It just, it's like you're in a dark storm, and it's raining, and it's dark,
and it's dreary. And it's like, I just don't know if I'm going to make it out of this.
Right.
But when you start to put on the garment of praise,
yes,
the spirit of happiness,
yes,
something lifts. It's like the blinders are off, that you feel more enlightened. You feel the presence of Almighty
Amen.
God.
Amen, yes.
When we get into that, where it's less of us and more of Him.
Amen, amen.
It just takes a little bit to put on some praise music, or even just to say, thank you, Lord, for whatever I'm going through, because I know that it's going to bring you glory. And it's amazing what the power of praise can do.
Oh, amen.
Period.
You know, some of our listeners may be saying, wait a minute, let me look at my calendar. Is it Thanksgiving time? Why are they talking about thanks? We should be talking about thanks all the time, and we should be doing it all the time. Not just in November, the fourth Thursday of each November every year, should we be giving thanks. Thanksgiving is something that needs to be happening in our lives continually. We need to open our eyes. In Psalm 92 there, it's talking about at daybreak, when you open your eyes and when you start a new day, God, I thank you. Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for the blessings and challenges and opportunities that I'm going to have today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for another day. We should be thanking Him, Betty, all the time. We should live in an attitude of thanksgiving. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
I'll amen,
amen
me. Yeah.
I'll amen you as long as you want me to. But it boils down to, Pastor, that life is not all about us.
Right. Yes.
It brings us to a point where it changes things.
Amen.
It changes our heart. It changes when you say thanks. It's just an appreciation for what God has done for us.
Oh, amen.
And even though we haven't maybe seen that yet, we need to keep thanking Him for the results. And it's like at the end of every prayer, it's like, Lord, thank you in
thank
advance.
You. Thank you in advance,
thank
yes.
You. Thank you in advance for what you do for me and what you have done for me.
Amen.
There's a lot of things sometimes, Pastor, we take for granted.
Amen. Amen.
And,
I know.
And that's where it puts Him, is to praise Him for His mighty deeds and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. It takes us beyond our everyday life. You know
Amen.
What I mean?
Yes, it does. You know, Betty, I was thinking during that song, I was thinking of my great-granddaughters. And yes, I am a great-grandmother. I'm too young for that, but I am. And yes, they are twins, and they are baby A and baby B, Aaliyah and Briley. And they just moved to Florida, and I'm so blessed that they did, with my granddaughter Rylan and her husband Taylor. And welcome to this wonderful, beautiful Sunshine State. And they stayed with me for a couple weeks as they were getting their apartment and getting settled. And one thing I noticed about my great-granddaughters, now they are not quite 3 years old. A and B are extremely polite. They say please, and they say thank you. And the first time I noticed it, and they said when they wanted juice, and they're just, you know, they're talking limited, but they talk very well, actually, really. And so I went to the refrigerator to get their juice, and whoever it was, A or B, said, thank you, Nana. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that was so sweet, you know, and it's consistent with them. Thank you, Nana. Please, Nana. Thank you, Nana. And it's like, whoa, we need to be training our children like my granddaughter and her husband Taylor are doing, for these kids to be polite, for them to thank, and also to thank God. So, Betty, here's the second part of my story. So the very first meal we had together, we were into it maybe for a minute, and one of them started to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, amen. And we had forgotten to pray. And they pray, and they take hands. And so we all had to drop our food. And we usually do pray before over our meals. But I'll tell you, that time it was just everything. We were trying to get the food on the table, and everybody was hurrying. And, oh, boy, we drop everything, hold hands, and all they say is, thank you, Jesus, amen. And that's it. But you know what? That, to me, is beautiful. Talk to me, Betty.
Mm-mm. Well, and it's because it's the innocence.
It is. Yes.
It makes it so precious. And God is, every time a child says thank you or Jesus, I believe that He smiles.
Oh, you know and He does.
Because it's something like A and B have been, I don't want to call it trained, but they have set a precedent.
Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. In their home.
In these girls' lives.
Yeah.
To say, you know, we need to be thankful for everything that we have.
Right.
And it's just over if we just keep doing it, just like A and B do. Over
right.
and over again, it becomes a glorious habit.
And when they
be able to say thank you.
It is.
Or excuse me or whatever. It's those, it's respect.
It is respect. And it's giving thanks where thanks is due. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, is what they say. That's all the prayer is. But you know what? That doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be more than that because it's the attitude of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, amen means so be it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for this blessing. So be it. You know, we're going to 1 Chronicles 15, and we're going to see the attitude of a young lady who did not like Thanksgiving, which is kind of interesting. And it begins, the story begins in about verse 27, when David is taking the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Message Bible, it's called the Chest of the Covenant of God. But it was the symbolic presence of Almighty God. It contained three things. It contained the Ten Commandments on the stone. It contained the rod of Aaron that budded, although it was not connected to a tree. And it contained a jar of manna, which reminded everybody of the way God provided for the children of Israel in the desert all those years. And, you know, sometimes we need those little reminders of how God has taken care of us, Betty. Sometimes we just need those times, whether they are become a routine, like thank you, Jesus, amen, before we eat. It's just a reminder of God taking care of us and providing for us, isn't it?
Yes, and, you know, it's so cool. My grandson, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Love Andrew.
I do, too, with all my heart.
And Zoe Grace also.
Oh, and Zoe Grace, he's just as special.
Yes.
But Andrew has a memory book.
Right.
And the memory book contains things that he doesn't want to forget.
Right.
That he wants to thank someone for. And one of the first things that he wrote about was Grayson.
Ah,
that
yes.
He drew a picture for Grayson, and he just wanted to not forget how great our God is and how great he was to let us have the ability to be with Grayson, even though it was for 33 hours.
Right.
He wanted to thank God for Grayson.
Amen.
And those are the things that we need
cool.
to do as adults.
Yes.
To have the innocence and the ability to sit down with the Lord and tell him, thank you.
Amen. That's cool. Thank you for that story.
Thank you. I mean, it's just two words. Thank you.
Amen.
It shows respect. It shows humility. It shows a number of things that can bring us closer when it comes to thanking him and giving him thanksgiving for the things that we have.
Amen. And, you know, David respected the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant, and that Ark of the Covenant needed to come into Israel, into Jerusalem, and be put in the temple. And it's a backstory what had happened, why it hadn't happened prior to this, and we don't have time to get into that. But the point here is that David knew it was time to bring that Ark of the Covenant, the chest of God, with those symbolic three items in it, into where it belonged. And because those items represented how God had moved in Israel's life, with the miraculous, with the rod that bloomed without being connected to a tree, with the way that God gave the instructions through the Ten Commandments, and then the jar of manna, how God provides. So all of these were ways that the people were thanking God for his presence in their lives. So they're bringing it in, and in verse 27, we see David is all dressed up in white linen. He had a prayer shawl on. The parade began to bring in this covenant of God. They were shouting and cheering, much like we do when an NFL team or a baseball team comes out on the field, you know, we're all pretty good about shouting. Well, I think of football because those stadiums are so huge. And when the home team comes through all that steam and how they do, you know, they make a big grand entrance. You don't see that whole stadium, football stadium, everybody sitting on their hands. No, they're up shouting and cheering and praising the team and yay team, we're going to win today. You know, Betty, but it's so hard for people to do the same for God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. In fact, it was one of the comments. When I, maybe I shouldn't say this, but when I walked out of church today, it's like, people, we are the church.
Right.
And we have got to learn that just sitting there and not doing anything at all while everyone else is praising God, is that's, you know, that's God's time for us to say thank you. That's
absolutely.
Our time. I mean, even if it's just on Sunday, you know, we need to do that 365, 24/7.
Right.
But give him a little bit of time. Give him the time that
exactly.
he so desires, that he adores, that he just soaks it up because his children, that's
right.
what we're called to do, is to
right.
be the church and to praise him and honor him and delight in him.
Amen. You know, let's go back to the metaphor of the football game. Because you can tell what team people are for with what they wear, right? Usually, if you're going to a Colts game, they've got that royal blue on, and they're, you know, and when the Colts come out on the field in Lucas Oil Stadium there in Indianapolis, it is a sight to see. And everybody that is a Colts fan is standing and cheering and hollering and clapping. When the opposing team comes out, you can see the ones who are not for the opposing team because they're all sitting there on their hands. They're doing nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And when we are a part of the group that sits on our hands and doesn't praise God with our mouth or with clapping or with singing or with raising our hands in the air, it's the same type of thing. It's showing lack of respect. It's showing that we aren't grateful for all the blessings we have. Some people would say, well, I didn't grow up that way, looking at praising God like that. I didn't either. But I learned in my 20s that God's word teaches us to be very vocal about our praises. God's word teaches us to raise our hands in praise and adoration. God's word teaches us to clap and make a joyful noise. And if you say, don't use the excuse anymore, people, I didn't grow up that way. Try it. It is the most wonderful thing in the world to begin to praise God, clapping to a song like we were doing here, and I was playing my air drums in here a minute ago, and doing all that and letting that praise of God come through our hands lifted, our arms lifted, our singing voices, our clapping. Woo, Betty, I'm on a high horse here on this, but I tell you, I feel strongly about this. I feel so strongly that praise is the breakthrough thing that we need in this country right now with all that's happening. We need to be praising God for the answers before we see them, and that's what I have to say about that.
Well, and I think, you know, I'll give you a double, triple amen, because it boils down to, pastor and listening audience, is that we have got to take a stand.
Amen.
We have got to learn that, you know, it's just like a selfie. We're so consumed with ourselves.
Right.
We're so consumed with getting ourselves out there that we forget the one who gave it to us. We forget
right.
the one. And it is. It's almost like we have a memory loss.
Right.
We pray and we praise him when we really need something. And maybe it comes to fruition, maybe it doesn't. But if it does, then we forget about it. And it's so important to remember that everything we do, we need to give God the glory for. Because I was never raised in church, but when I did go to church, and we started at Cornerstone, the element of praise broke the chain. It broke the... maybe an atmosphere of some people that brought in fear, worry, anxiety, all of this. It praise and thanksgiving breaks those chains. But you can't just do it for 5 minutes.
No, you can't.
It's got to be a continual thing that we do on a daily basis.
It's got to become a part of us. You know, I didn't grow up a football fan. You say, will you get off the football here? No, seriously, I did not grow up a football fan. I grew up a baseball fan. I grew up in Central America as a missionary's kid, and we played baseball. And on my shortwave radio, I could get some games from San Francisco and the L.A. area in Guatemala. And so I would listen to baseball. But I didn't grow up hearing football until I came back to the States in the last years of my high school and then gradually became a football fan. So I did not realize the craziness our nation has towards football in particular, baseball also, basketball, but football, it's pretty crazy. And when I began to watch those games and to really learn the game, and you and your husband and your family are all football fans too, Betty, so you can relate to what I'm saying. When you begin to get into it and have a team and whatever, and you get excited about it, you cheer. You know, you don't just sit in your chair like a bum on a rock, do you? When those teams are going crazy, your team is winning, or even if they just scored a touchdown. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? When you were just talking about football, I love NFL football.
I do, too.
I like college football, but I love NFL football.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that before a game that you may just be kind of mediocre, you may be kind of, well, I don't know if I really want to watch this game or not. I'd really, really take a nap. But once you get into that game and your whole attitude changes, adrenaline starts pumping through your veins, your
right.
heart rate picks up, and you begin to feel it's almost like a high.
Right, sure it is.
I've attended NFL football games. I would love to go to Lucas Oil Stadium and sit in a Colts game, or I would have really, really would have liked to have went to Denver and seen Peyton Manning. Don't get us talking about football.
We'll be the whole show, so we can't do that.
Yeah, we don't want to be at all about football. But I noticed that even the same thing happens when you praise God.
Right, it does.
Whether you're in your car, you're in your house, you're in the shower or wherever, once you start letting that praise infiltrate your heart, your mind, everything starts pumping at a greater rate.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing what it can do if you just do it.
Well, that just goes right along with the point I wanted to make in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 28. When they started carrying the presence of God in the chest, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, it says right. here, all Israel on parade were bringing up the chest of the covenant of God. And now all Israel, I mean, this is contagious. Praise is contagious. So is the excitement in a stadium or someplace when you're watching a game. It says all of Israel started shouting and cheering and playing every kind of brass and percussion and string instrument. God loves music. I know there's some churches out there that don't believe in music. I don't know where they get that, because music is foundational to our relationship with God. God loves you to praise God. It says in the book of Ezekiel that Satan was the minister of music in heaven before he fell. And I believe that this is one of the reasons that Satan hates praise and worship so much, and why he tries his best to distract us away from raising our hands, clapping our hands, praising God, giving God the thanks and praise that he deserves. The devil does not want you praising God. So if the devil doesn't want you praising God, you know what you need to be doing? Praising God.
Praising God.
Right? Because if the devil doesn't want you doing it, it's a sure sign there is benefit if you praise God.
Oh, amen. You know, when we were talking late this week about what, you know, maybe what topic we were going to cover.
Right.
And if you have like a Bible app or you're on the internet,
just put in the word praise.
Right.
It's scripture after scripture.
Oh, it's everywhere.
After scripture. It's everywhere throughout the Bible.
Yes.
And one of the things that it did, and it seemed like, that when they praised God, things happened.
Yes, of course. It's breakthrough. It's the tool for breakthrough.
And I never really put that word in my app to be able to pull up, because I don't know where scriptures are found, all of them. And one of the neat things about it was, if you read the scripture, maybe it's like the people of Israel. They praised God. They loved him. And once they got down, and then they started praising him again, didn't things happen?
Yes.
Didn't things
always
change?
Always.
Did manna fall from heaven because
yes.
they were praising God?
I tell you yes.
It's amazing. Even in the New Testament, the walls came down when they were praising God.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about huge cement walls, chains broke. And this is what happens in our lives, people.
Yes.
Is that those things, and you're going to get me, I'm going to get excited here, is that we have to learn that don't worry about what the next person is doing.
No.
Whether you're in church, you're in your car, wherever. If you feel a need to praise God, if you feel a need to sing, if you need to play a tambourine, if you need to play a drum, just singing or singing in the spirit or whatever, do it.
Do it.
Because what that does to the devil is that makes him flee, because he cannot stand where Jesus's and or God's people are praising him. Or
Amen.
Praising God.
No, he cannot.
He cannot stand. He will flee when you do that. And I could have testimony after testimony about what praise has done in my life and the power that comes through it.
And the title of this new series is The Power of Praise. Woo! We're going to do another song right here. And I know you're thinking I'm going to do that same song again. I don't think so right this minute, but maybe later. Give thanks. Listen to this one. Woo! Good song. Let's give thanks. You have so much to be thankful for, don't you, today? Your health, your family, your job, everything that God's provided for you, the love of God for you.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Amen. Let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am strong.
Amen. Give thanks. That's what we're talking about today, how Thanksgiving leads you right into praising God. If you're just tuning in, earlier in the show I was talking about my precious little great-granddaughters, Aaliyah and Briley, who've just moved down here and were staying with me for a short time before they moved into their own place, and how it warmed my heart every time they said, thank you, Nana, for whatever, juice, whatever it was. And how they pray and how they grab hands and they say, thank you, Jesus, amen, you know? And dear ones out there, we can't learn, we can't teach that too young. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to be thankful for what they have, to thank people for things, to thank God in particular. And that's what David was doing here in 1 Chronicles. He was teaching the people to thank God and praise God. But the end of verse 29 of chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles is very interesting, because David's wife, Michal, was watching this whole procession. And it says, when David started dancing before the Lord like he was and praising God as he brought that Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, the last line of 1 Chronicles 15, 29 says that when Michal, his wife, saw King David dancing ecstatically, she was filled with contempt. Now, when we do not have a heart towards God, when we don't want to thank him, when we don't want to praise him, when we don't want to acknowledge his goodness in our lives, when we're all, Betty, you mentioned earlier, when we're all self-centered and so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't take time to praise God and thank him, it's interesting the reaction that evil has towards praising God and thanking God. Evil, whether it's in David's wife here or whoever, and by the way, later on it says that she never had a child after that, that God shut her womb. She could not have children. I find it very interesting that the devil hates praise. He hates it when we give thanks to God, and that when we do, it causes kind of nastiness to rise up in some people around us, doesn't it, Betty?
Oh, yeah. You know, as that song was playing, it has such a useful purpose for our negativity.
Yeah.
And complaining.
Right.
A reaction is that Michal was just ate up with contempt. She was. Ate up with anger and hatred and so forth, because she saw something that she didn't have.
Did she want it, obviously.
No,
you know?
She did not want it because of her heart.
Yeah, it was her heart.
Not right with God.
Right.
And that's where the enemy has the ability to take over and say, you know, praise doesn't work. It doesn't. Just go ahead and stay complacent. Go ahead and stay, you know, where you are. You don't want to move any closer to God than what you are right now. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we dwell in negativity. We absolutely dwell in it. And it's almost like it can sometimes just seep out of our pores.
Right.
That once we start that praise and once we start giving thanksgiving, our heart changes. There's a physical and spiritual change in us.
I agree with you.
But people see it. People say, there's something different about you, just like that man saw different in you.